So today, we think about listening to the wrong voice. I think that's something I could preach on every month in some variation. There are so many voices out there for us, some telling us good things, some saying bad things, and sometimes we're not sure if they're good or bad. One of the voices that we hear that's not a good voice is the voice of scarcity, that voice that tells us we don't have enough, that we need more wealth, more stuff, more friends, more love. And along with that voice, I think, is the voice of insignificance, that voice that tells us that we're not worth having those things. We don't deserve what the good things that God wants to give us. We're not worth it. We don't matter, and we can't make a difference in the world. These are voices that lead us away from God's voice, from what God says about us and what God says to us. These and other voices tell us lies. Of course, the wrong voice we heard in our readings for today was the voice of the devil in both cases. First off, we have evil finding its way into the world when all is supposed to be perfect and good. The newly created, blissfully naked gardeners, Adam and Eve, break that one rule that God gave them. It just goes to show us that some things never change. We always want what we can't have. And sometimes we don't even want it until we can't have it. That is part of being human. Who gave up chocolate for Lent, or has ever given up chocolate or sweets or any of that, or gone on a diet, right? As soon as you can't have those things, it just kind of gets in your mind and you think about it more and more. And then there's the voice in the gospel, the voice of the devil tempting Jesus with all kinds of good things when he literally has nothing. He's in the wilderness for 40 days and nights and eats nothing during that time, even though he was tempted. Now, Adam and Eve broke their covenant with God for a piece of fruit. That just goes to show that we humans will do anything for food and for power. We want to satisfy our body's cravings, and we also want to be like God. We want to have our cake and eat it too. It doesn't matter how many times we hear these stories of our sins, we'll never stop making these mistakes. In the confession and forgiveness that we said this morning, the one for Lent, it says that we are handcuffed to sin. When I first read that, I thought, wow, that's pretty harsh. It's not an image that I really enjoy thinking about. It makes me picture people who are either dangerous themselves or maybe who are in dangerous situations that they can't escape, even though they might need to or want to, or maybe even because they are innocent. But that is the truth about sin. We can't escape it. It will always be part of us. I spent years of my life hating the season of Lent. It's still not my most favorite time in the church year in some ways, but I have a much deeper appreciation for it now. I can see the value in the honesty of admitting our sins, not only to God, but to ourselves. I find some comfort in receiving God's mercy and confessing my own sins and the sins of the world. Now, I know Lent isn't just about that or about songs in minor keys. Lent is about taking away all the distractions, the other voices, the things that we use to numb ourselves from our pain, our sin, and our focus on God. Those things might be chocolate or food or Facebook or alcohol or television or any of those other things we use to distract us. Lent is a time to turn our ears again to listen to the right voice, God's voice. Lent calls us to leave those things that distract us behind, like when we might go into the wilderness to camp or into the desert, like Jesus did in our reading today. Sometimes it's Jesus in the wilderness, in the desert. It's the same kind of idea. A few weeks ago, I gathered with some of my dearest friends from seminary at Spirit in the Desert Retreat Center in Carefree, Arizona, just north of Phoenix. If you've never been to that part of the country, let me tell you, it's not like Wisconsin at all. We have our snowbirds back from Arizona, right? Not like Wisconsin. First of all, it's like warm there now. And when we were there, the temperature was perfect. But the climate there is just mind-boggling to me as a Midwesterner. It's so dry, I hardly knew what to do with myself. There's dirt and rocks and cacti everywhere. I felt like I needed a drink all the time. It is beautiful. The sparseness is beautiful, but it is so completely different than what we are used to here. My friends and I, while we were at the retreat center, shared a lot about where we were at in our lives, in our relationship, and in our faith. We had tears of hurt, of pain, and of laughter. It was a time to be honest with each other and ourselves. More than any group I'm a part of, this group is a place where I can share my deepest struggles. It was hard to hear myself honestly share some of my own pain, but it was also freeing. Saying things out loud took their power over me away. We closed our last night together, sharing reflections on things we loved about each other. It was kind of uncomfortable to be the one to have to sit and listen to as your friends lifted you up. But we're just not used to that, right? We don't like to believe the good things other people say about us. We tend to prefer that loop of negativity that we play in our own minds, that the world has taught us about who we are. We are not strong enough. We are not good looking enough. We're not wealthy enough. We're not happy enough. We're not smart enough. Not successful enough. We're not enough, period. That is why we do things like eat that fruit of temptation, or lie, or cheat, or say something hurtful, because we're believing that voice that tells us that we are not enough. But here's the thing. We can't, and we don't have to be enough. The key to those handcuffs to our sins is in the hand of Jesus, who was tempted in the wilderness on our behalf, the one who could finally say no to that voice of not enough. His words change the way we think about others, but first about ourselves and our relationship with God. He showed us a new way of thinking, a new way of forgiveness, a new way to live. I was watching the Olympics this week, as I'm sure you all were too, and they were interviewing a skater before he was skating part of his program. He had already done it once before, and he had fallen at one point. And so they said, how are you, you know, psyching yourself up so that you don't fall again this time? And he said something like, I'm just trying to think positively and, be uplifting to myself, because for every negative thing we tell ourselves, like, don't fall, it takes something like 15 or 20 positive thoughts to counteract that one negative thought. And I thought, wow, you know, that is so true about ourselves, isn't it? We hear one bad thing, and we instantly believe that and go to that so much more easily than we do the good things or the positive things. So much easier for us to be negative. So let's listen to some positive things that Jesus said about us that can help change the voice of the world and the voice in our own heads. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Friends, we don't have to carry all of our pain and our burdens ourselves. Jesus is there for us. And when we go to him, our own burdens, our own pain is made so much lighter because of him. From Luke 15, Jesus said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need righteous persons who need no repentance." We're not here because we're perfect. God already knows that we're not, right? If you were here on Ash Wednesday, you heard me say that Glennon Doyle Melton quote, that trying to be perfect at church is like getting dressed up for an X-ray. That's not possible. It doesn't make a difference to God how we present ourselves. God is happy when we come to him. Because in Christ, our sins are forgiven. We don't have to carry the mistakes that we make around. We bring them to God. They're forgiven. We can let them go because God lets them go because of Christ. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus took and the scroll from the temple and read from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When Jesus comes on the scene, things are different. God's good news is let loose. We are freed from our sins and the things that oppress us, and God's favor shines on us. In John 15, Jesus reminds us that you didn't choose me, I chose you. In our baptisms, God chooses all of us, calls us by name, and loves us. We are beloved and chosen by God. In John 15, Jesus tells us something that's very important. He says, "As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We are only able to grow and to do the things God wants us to do when we live in Jesus, when we are connected to him as the source of our life. And isn't that good news? We don't have to be the source. He is the one that feeds us and fills us and makes us bear fruit. In John 8, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." This time of year can get to be a little dark for a lot of us, right? We're tired of winter. Things are we're getting cabin fever and we're ready for some light, right? If we follow Jesus, we will know that light in our souls, in our lives. And I love this one from John 16, especially in these days when we see the terrible things on the news like school shootings once again, and we just wonder, what can we do? Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's sometimes just knowing that God has the world in his hands can help us through those terrible, terrible times, knowing that we are not the ones that have to save the world, but that God is the one that saves the world through Christ. And finally, on the last night of his life, as Jesus was talking with his disciples, he said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We have the peace of Christ. It doesn't always make sense to our troubled hearts, but he assures us that the peace that he gives us is different. And it's something we can cling to in those times when we feel alone or afraid, or we hear the voice of the world telling us that we are not enough. Remember that God offers his peace to you through Christ. And don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid, but go to him so that he can fill you with his light and his love. Take a moment now of prayer to thank God for offering us that light and love, and to pray that you would hear his voice in your lives. Amen.